You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. An ear full of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good. Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. Okay. Take a break. We're back. We're not back. We're just getting here. We've had a heck of a time tonight. It's the 14th of May, and it's a Thursday. And, man, unbelievable. We'll get to this in a minute. But I'll tell you what, Amy, bless her heart, she tries so hard to get in here, and she is she's stretched way too thin. She's got stuff that she does for the church regular, and she's got her other job that she likes to go mess with the horses and everything. We had grandkids graduating preschool, and she just did not have time to do anything that she wanted to do tonight and get in here to the, plus we had missionaries over here for dinner. We tell them, you know, anytime you're out and about and you can't find a, you know, if you're not got a dinner date or something and you're hungry, well, you always call us. Just show up. We'll always feed you. So they did, and we fed them. So, and it made it where, and then about that time, I got, I said, well, I'll take Amy's time. And then I got here, my cotton picking computer was updating right about that time. So I was stuck with nothing to do and no place to go and act like nobody loves me. So anyway, here we are. So hang on just a minute here. Want to let everybody know real quickly, we are fastly approaching our date here. We're looking at just a smidge over a month now to our class in Washington, and also, even more importantly, the Arms Expo coming up on the, I always forget, 19th and 20th or 20th and 21st. It's 20th and 21st of June. What a good time that's going to be. A lot of fun, I think. And we're going to talk about those kind of things tonight.
What a difference a day made.
Yeah, and what a difference a day makes. My goodness, the things that have happened since this time yesterday. Man, unbelievable. Let's go back first and let's talk about this train wreck thing here a little bit. We talked about it yesterday. Oddly enough, you know what? Something seems to me like it's up. I don't know what it is exactly, but let's take this one step at a time, okay? What got me started thinking about this, I told you yesterday when me and Amy were talking about this, I said, something seems a little strange here. There's a train wreck yesterday, a train wreck today, and then lo and behold, we get up this morning and then there was another one. Another freight train today in Pittsburgh. So we had one in Pittsburgh, one in Philadelphia, and one up in, it's around Wenatchee, Washington somewhere, a freight train. And we hear also, I told you yesterday, about the train derailleurs that have been stolen. 9 of them have been stolen. So, we'll find out if 6 more trains, it just dawned on me, that's what Tampico Scott said a while ago, is 6 more. Well, he's keeping track. I tell you what, that's one sharp cookie right there. But, so we'll see what happens here over the next few days or weeks. But, what got me into this again today, not just the fact that there was 3 train wrecks in 3 days, a little unusual. You know, usually we go months and months at a time, maybe even years, before we hear of a major derailment. So what caused this one in Philadelphia to go, okay, we heard he was going too fast. He's going 106 miles an hour when he first went into the curve there. And then we hear that he tried to stop, tried to slow down. Did you hear about the projectile of some kind that hit another train 20 minutes before the first one wrecked? Didn't hear about that? It was 3.5 miles away. A train was struck by a projectile. What was it? They're not sure. But it was about 9:25 p.m. when that happened. 20 minutes later is when the other train derailed. Were those two things related? Was one a signal for the other? Was one a distraction so that the other could take place? Now, I got into it a couple of times on Facebook today, 3 times, as a matter of fact, with different people about different things. And the one that ticked me off the most, I don't know, there was actually a couple of them, but the one that ticked me off the most were these people that talking about this train engineer. Oh, stupid little punk. Oh, they ought to hang him. They ought to sue all that. Oh, he was going too fast. Was he texting? Was he on drugs? You know, shut up. Geez, I worry about our country right now. You know, I've talked about numerous times about people going off the deep end here. I don't want damn people like this on my jury if something were to happen. They have this guy drawn and quartered for the damn wrecks even cleaned up. First thing we want to do is throw blame and start cut. I mean, the hate that these people have is unbelievable. Could not believe what they were saying today. I said, wait a minute. We don't know anything about this. Well, why was he going so? I don't know why he was going so fast. I wasn't there. Were you? He's texting. He's on drugs. Oh, so you were there. Okay. What was he texting? Obviously, I don't believe he was texting because he said he had a concussion. This was a medically diagnosed thing. He had a concussion, had injuries in both legs and head injury. I doubt very seriously for several reasons. He said he went and got his phone out of his bag to call 911 after this happened, after he come to and figured out what was going on. Okay, if it was in his hand and he was texting, my money goes for him not having any freaking idea where that phone went after the wreck. But it probably wasn't too hard to find his bag. The other thing is, with a concussion and his head, do you think he was on his toes there enough and had it together enough to make up the story that he went and got the phone out of the bag and all that to keep anybody from knowing he was texting? Third thing is, I'll bet you $100 bill that most of these trains have video cameras in them, just like a lot of big over the road trucks do. For that very reason. Because they watch these people. You're not supposed to be on the phone. And I'll bet you every train out there, at least I'm sure passenger train, probably all of them, have video protection so that, or video monitoring, surveillance, just for that very reason. So I don't believe he was texting for a minute. He's been cooperative. They didn't find anything in his blood. No alcohol, no drugs. So what caused it? Before we draw and quarter this guy, hang him for something that he may not have done. Yes, he was driving. But wasn't his fault that it wrecked. Do you think someone that had been an engineer for 4 years, some bimbo got on Facebook and said, hey, this guy was a cashier at Walmart or somewhere before, I forgot what store she said, maybe it was Target, I don't know, but whatever it was, before he was an engineer. Well, actually he may have been, but it would have been several years ago because he worked for Amtrak for 9 years, five of those years, 4.5 years, something like that, he was a conductor on the train and familiar with the procedures. He's been an engineer for 4 years. Now, do you think that he wouldn't have known that that train couldn't take that corner at 106 miles an hour? Was he trying to commit suicide? Like the pilot did here a couple months ago? I don't think so. It was too, the pilot was damn sure that suicide would be taking place. The train engineer, there is no way to guarantee it. At 100 miles an hour, the way those trains are built, you know, out of 243 people, only 8 of them so far have died. No way you can guarantee that if he was wanting to commit suicide. So is it possible that there may have been a mechanical problem? Is it possible that he could have been slipped a drug at the station prior to him leaving, something that had a delayed action, and whoever did it knew kind of what would happen? Did he have some kind of medical problem? And the first thing they say is, well, if he had a medical problem, he should have been driving a train. Well, maybe it was something that happened that he didn't, that never happened to him before. Some type of of an attack or a seizure of some kind that he'd never had before. First thing I told Amy after this, after we thought about this, is, you know, why don't they have a co-engineer in there just like they have a co-pilot in a plane? Why aren't there two people in there to prevent this kind of stuff from happening? You know, you see all the old movies that always had two guys in there. But apparently with all the electronics and everything they have now, that doesn't seem to be necessary to them. But I can pretty much guarantee that another guy would have said, hey, we ain't taking this damn corner at 106 miles an hour. Are you stupid or what? Let's slow this thing down a little bit. But, you know, so could he have locked him out of the cockpit or whatever the hell you call it in a train and done it anyway? Maybe so. I don't know. But I kind of doubt it. So another thing, is it possible that a terrorist could have done something mechanically to the train? A while ago I said something mechanical could have happened to it. Yes, it may have, just because of a freak accident or poor maintenance or whatever. But what about if somebody stuck something in there somewhere while it was stopped or something? Now, we had the projectile hit that other plane, that other train. Could a projectile have gone in this train somewhere unnoticed and messed something up and caused it to hyperventilate there some way or another? Let's see. I was looking at some of the comments here. Yeah, Doc, that's I don't know, 100 miles an hour on a wreck. That's, I mean, on a bike. That's I don't think I'd want to try that, any kind of bike. But more power to you. I'm glad you walked away there, man. Let's see. Kind of hemming and hawing here to kind of keep up with the chat room. You guys are smoking right along here. So I really got onto these guys for hanging this engineer before they have any earthly idea what happened. Why is there music happening on my computer right now? Okay. I wonder if I'm still talking. I guess so. I don't know. Let me check my deal here and see. For some reason my computer just woke up and started doing stuff all by itself. I guess I'm still working. So I got on these people about this, and not having any facts at all about what may have happened. Let's at least see. Now, they say, well, yeah, the first thing you did is go and get a lawyer. What, are you stupid too? Of course he went and got a lawyer, wouldn't you? If you wouldn't, you absolutely are stupid. Of course he went and got a lawyer. If he could even think at all, the first thing, and I wouldn't be surprised, but what lawyers may have come to him. Seeing now, that's probably seeing a, you know, like the ambulance chasers are. But one or the other, obviously there is a very real need there for a lawyer, whether he was at fault or thinks he's at fault or anything else doesn't make any difference. Any halfway rationally thinking individual would want to get a lawyer after an event like that. That is a major event. Now, of course, he said, and of course they would say this, I don't know that it's true, but they said that he was very, very distraught over the deaths and the things that happened there, and it was all, at least according to the story, a complete surprise and mystery to him that all this stuff has happened, because he don't remember, or says he don't remember anything happening. Do I believe him? Why should I not believe him? He's got head injuries and stuff, but I'm not him. I don't know what he was thinking. I'm not going to say that he didn't. There's nothing to indicate one way or the other. So, you know, let's, this is what I worry about so much in the future, in a place where the rule of law does not exist anymore. I worry about people just like this, having a fair, remotely, kind of partially fair, little bit fair trial in the event that something happened. Sounds like it ain't going to be happening. These people had already decided that he was completely at fault just because he was driving. Hey, Ty Jax is in there with us, buddy. Long time no see. Jeez. Where you been? Been quite a while. So, you know, and the same thing I'm not sticking up for him. I'm just a real stickler for finding out what the hell happened before we start blaming people. I just don't understand why these people are so set on, okay, he was driving, he's guilty, let's hang him next. What other catastrophe can we go to hold of and hang somebody because they look like they may have smoked a joint when they were 16 or something? I don't know. Drives me nuts. So then we had another episode. And this goes back to the back to what we see all the flag stomping and stuff going on here. The Mountain Shooter, I don't know if there's any around here either. I haven't went out and looked for any powder for a while, but if I think about it, I'll go check for the heck of it and see what I can find. So we have this thing of stomping on flags and burning flags and doing all kinds of stuff. You know, that really, really, really pisses me off. I mean, like, a lot. It makes my blood boil. It makes me start shaking. It just makes me absolutely furious. But there's nothing that says that they can't do it. For the very reason that the flag is there, for the very reason that some of us served in the United States military, for the very reason that the Constitution was written, those people have the right to express that if they want. Because if you get down to it, the flag, to us that respect it, has a tremendous meaning. Tremendous emotional and sentimental value. To those that haven't served, there's even military veterans that are doing this in places. If they don't feel that way, then to them, it is nothing but a piece of a cloth. It's a very pretty colored piece of cloth. Most of us don't feel that way. Most of us could eat 16 penny nails and poop thumbtacks over something like this. But we need to keep our eye on the ball here. If the Constitution applies to anybody, it applies to everybody. And people say, well, it's illegal. No, it's really not. United States Code, once upon a time, made it illegal. See, if we go back, initially, it was not illegal. There was nothing ever written about that back in the old days. There was something added to the U.S. Code at some point that made it illegal. It was challenged, and it was omitted from the United States Code in 1989. In 1990, that was challenged and shot down, and it remained that there were, that you, if you wanted to, express your sentiments, your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas by burning a flag, then yeah, I know it. It drives me crazy. But should it be illegal? No. Not just because it makes me mad. Not just because I don't approve of what they're doing. So where does it stop? If we make that illegal, where does it stop? Newspapers, television, magazines, radio, the shooting bench, political rallies? Where does it stop? Bumper, stickers on your vehicle, clothes that you wear, style of hair. Where does it end? If they take a flag down from a flagpole on government property or on my property, then that's a whole different story. And it has nothing to do with desecration of the flag. It has everything to do with stealing, vandalism. Now, I've been accused of that a time or two. I say I could have been accused of it. The only reason I wasn't because I didn't get caught. But I have stolen flags for a different reason. Because they were tattered and torn, wrapped up in stuff, tangled up. And I have climbed flagpoles. Well, I've only climbed one flagpole. I climbed one at a beer joint in San Rafael, New Mexico one time. I was sitting in a barbershop, and I told this story a long, long time ago, but I was sitting in a barbershop in San Rafael, and I looked over across, the guy was about half done. I looked over across the street, and I saw what was left of a United States flag tangled up in a tree at the top of a flagpole. And I about laid a brick. So I said, excuse me just a minute. There's nobody else in the barbershop. I took my little apron off, laid it in a chair, and walked over across the street, climbed that flagpole in the middle of the day, and had to cut that flag free because it was tangled up in trees up there. And I brought it back, put it in the seat of the pickup, and went back and sat down in the chair, and the guy finished my haircut and didn't even charge me for it. He said, thank you very much for that. And I wanted to say, and I didn't because it was for obvious reasons. I wanted to say, well, why hadn't you already done that? But he was about 70 years old, so that's pretty obvious why he hadn't already done it. But I've taken flags off of several buildings. I've taken them from homes. I've taken them from cars. I've taken them numerous places where they have been tattered and torn to a point where they're disgraceful. And I've taken them, and I've taken them and burned them. But that is, it's not my right to take things that from people's property that don't belong to me. But when I look at the reason and the, I justified it in my own mind, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's just the way I did it. So. And Hopper, sure. If you have one that's fallen down for some reason, sure, pick it up and put it on a porch or maybe put it back in its holder if there was one there or something like that. Certainly. Peanut Rider, buddy. The United States of America still very much exists as long as I breathe. As long as I'm here. The United States is fine. It's a little crippled up, and there's a lot of things going on. But as long as I'm here, and as long as I have a copy of that Constitution, whether it's the original or not, doesn't matter. But then the United States is fine. The United States and its Constitution will prevail before all this is over with. That I can absolutely promise you. Mark my words. There will be no shooting bench. There will be no internet. There will be no radio show. There will be no a lot of stuff, and a lot of us may not even survive that until it gets to that point. But rest assured that we will prevail, whether you see it from here or from the hereafter. You will see it. That I can promise you. Let me just tell you just briefly for the people that think there. People are. I've seen three or four people now have posted a picture of a statute on Facebook, saying that, oh yeah, this U.S. code, rah rah rah. This is, it says you get punished. There's $1,000 fine, and rah, all this stuff going on here. And well, you know, and there's two or three people was telling me that was, or telling everybody that was U.S. code. In fact, it was not U.S. code, and it was pretty easy to determine that because the damn numbers was on it in the picture. 5-51-207. You know, they've come out with this new thing, and it is so awesome. It's called Google. You can do it right on your computer. And you can punch those numbers in there, and I can bring the same thing up. And it was just an amazing thing that I can find this stuff on a computer in about 3 seconds, actually. And that came from Arkansas statute. It has absolutely nothing to do with United States code. And even it says that in Arkansas, but what do you think would happen if they tried to enforce it? I'll tell you exactly what would happen. Without a doubt, it would be shot down because the Supreme Court has already... Now, having that in the law is one thing in Arkansas and any other state, but enforcing it and having any type of penalties for it is quite another. It's kind of like owning a ham radio. As long as it just sits on the dresser and you don't do anything with it, it's perfectly legal. As soon as you pick up and key the mic, if you don't have a license, then it's illegal. So they can have that in Arkansas all they want. If they ever go to enforce it, then it's going to be Katie bar the door. Now, this thing probably... One of the most hotly contested decisions ever to come out of the Supreme Court. But that was, 26 years ago? Something like that. June of 1989 is when the Supreme Court decided that burning the flag was protected free speech. Now, I hate it. I hate it, but I can't blame them. That's what we do. I hate it, and I despise the people that do it, but they have the right to do it. They do not have the right to do it to my flag. They do not have the right to do it to a government, any flag that they steal and do it, but they have the right. We cannot, this is going to be a major thing, we cannot let our emotions keep us from doing what is right. Like I said, where does it stop? What can they ban? If they ban that and get away with it, what's to stop them from doing any one of a number of anything? What when it comes to Sharia law? Where do we stop that? Well, Sharia law in another country. It is immoral and disgusting, and it doesn't have anything to do with free choice here. That's a whole totally different thing. We've got into that argument today. But a guy in 1984 had burned a flag outside of City Hall in Texas, Dallas, protesting some of the policies of the Reagan administration at the time. And people were offended. People got mad. He was arrested, convicted of breaking a Texas state law, not United States code, but Texas state law, that prohibited any desecration of the flag, just like Arkansas. He was sentenced to a year in prison in order to pay a $2,000 fine. He appealed and used the First Amendment as his reason for being able to do this. And the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals at that time ruled in his favor. They said that was Johnson's speech. It was symbolic and ruled in his favor. And it is symbolic. Like I said, to me and Anthony Bosworth and Ty Jackson and a whole bunch of the rest of you, it's not just symbolic to us. That is our life. That is our country. That's the very thing that we literally willing to fight and die for. But just because it is to us don't mean that it is to everybody. We can't force people to think the way we think. We like it, we love it, we want some more of it, but not everybody feels that way. For us to force those feelings on them makes us no better than they are. People have said gun laws. Oh, yeah, rah, rah, rah. We forced people to buy guns. Catron County, New Mexico. Kennesaw, Georgia. Lincoln County, New Mexico. Where they say that the head of household or somebody in there will own a gun. And we say, rah, 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 didn't we win? No, we didn't. That makes us no better than them. If you don't want a gun, you don't have to get one. Just don't say that I can't. Savvy? Capiche? I don't care if you get a gun or not. It means absolutely nothing to me. You have no freaking idea how little it means to me whether you get a gun or not. I really don't care. But you also have no earthly idea how much I do care if you try to prevent me from getting one. That is going to piss me off. So anyway, back to the Supreme Court thing. After this was over with, the Supremes took it up, and some of you remember William Rehnquist, who was the Chief Justice at the time. Yeah, he dissented on the deal, and he said that the flag is not simply another idea or a point of view competing for recognition in the marketplace of ideas. He said, I cannot agree that the First Amendment invalidates the act of Congress and the laws of 48 of the 50 states, which makes criminal the public burning of the flag. Anthony Kennedy said the hard fact is that sometimes we must make decisions we do not like. We make them because they are right. Right in the sense that the law and the Constitution as we see them compel the result. And so great is our commitment to the process that except in the rare case, we do not pause to express distaste for the result, perhaps for fear of undermining the valued principle that dictates the decision. This is one of those rare cases. Though symbols often are what we ourselves make of them, the flag is constant in expressing beliefs Americans share, beliefs in law and peace, and that freedom which sustains the human spirit. The case here today forces recognition of the costs to which those beliefs commit us. It is poignant but fundamental that the flag protects those who hold it in contempt. I rest my case. I very much agree with, and like I said, it's distasteful. I hate it. It makes me furious. Oh, how I hate it. It leaves a taste in my mouth, actually. A bad taste. But it's fact. It's the way it is. So in reaction to this decision, that at the time only applied to the state of Texas, Congress passed an anti-flag burning law called, up until 1989, Congress didn't have anything saying you couldn't do it. But it pissed everybody off, so in 1989, they come up with the Flag Protection Act of 1989. In 1990, the Supreme Court struck it down as unconstitutional. Justice William Brennan said, if there is a bedrock principle underlying the First Amendment, it is that the government may not prohibit the expression of an idea simply because society finds the idea itself offensive or disagreeable. Very, very well put. It doesn't keep from pissing me off, but it's very well put. So that's something that's going to remain controversial forever, as noted by numerous discussions on Facebook today. But it is the way it is. We cannot assume, we cannot proclaim, pretend that we are constitutionalists and then say that people cannot do that. We can't have it both ways. You can't be... It's vastly hypocritical to say that. Now, might I whoop your ass for doing it? Maybe. That doesn't make it illegal. It just means we just need to find out whether you can whoop me or not. That has nothing to do with it. We just need to make sure and understand, while I am in the process of whooping that ass, I will let you know that you have the right to burn the flag and to collect your ass whooping for it. But it will not be illegal. And we can't force that that lack of, or we can't prohibit that expression of free speech simply by, just because we don't like it. Okay, that's my little rant for the time being, so I think maybe we better take a little break here, and I'll be back in a little bit. This is for you, Eddie.
Calling out.
back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
When they stopped to make their play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Let's finish this up. The got into another discussion, and it's kind of long, and it started out with the whole gun thing and background check and all that, and it was going along fairly well until one guy decided to drop an F-bomb in there on a woman's page, and that ticks me off, and I just said I'm done and walked away. I don't care. My debating abilities or desire just pretty much comes to a halt after that. If you're not articulate enough or educated enough to hold a conversation without doing that, if you want to do it just between me and you, that's okay. I usually don't, but I will not do it in a place where we may have Ziva looking at the page, where we may have my daughter looking at it, where we may have, or where we do have, without a doubt, other women looking at it. And some guy told me the other day, he said, well, I know women that cuss like sailors, and they say it all the time. Well, that's fine. We don't have to lower ourselves to their level. Just because they do, don't make it right for the rest of us. There's some things that we just need to grow up and not do. And that's one of them. And if the girls that you hang out with talk like that, then that's okay. That's between you and her. I don't care. That doesn't mean that I do, or that I can, or that I should, just because she does. It doesn't make it okay. Do I cuss like that? Yeah, absolutely, more than I should. But to say it in a public venue in mixed company, no. That I won't do. I mean, there's a certain amount of dams and hails and poops and whatever that I may do, but there's some things that a man just should not say in mixed company. I see somebody called Risen in the chat room there. It's a new name. I don't know who you are or where you came from, but we're glad you showed up here with us tonight. Maybe you'll find something that would encourage you to come back and join us at some point. Gauntlet 40, glad you made it in there. We've got a small handful of anonymous in there that's checking it out. I've found out a lot about some of these anonymous people. We've got some that are extremely regular and loyal listeners from way back. They've just never got in the chat room. I mean, they never put a name out there. So anyway, all right, let's let me save that one. Now let's go ahead and do that. We've got one here that this kind of goes along, I think, with our train derailments and the numerous other things that's coming down by the numbers right now. This happened today down on the border in Texas. 15 gunmen, 15 bad guys invaded a home on the border, shot a mother, a 33-year-old mother, and a 9-year-old boy. Apparently, there was a husband and one or more other kids there. Kids still, the mother's been released, but the kid still is in the hospital, listed in stable condition. And they didn't take anything. They kicked the door in and went to open fire in the house and went to blazing away, but they didn't take anything. One of two reasons that that happened. Either they were trying to make a statement, or they got the wrong house. One of the, stop, guys. Hold your fire. Save your bullets. Save your ammo. We must have missed a turn somewhere. Let's go on down the road. And, all right, Risen. Maybe we'll meet you up there at the Arms Expo or something. Glad you made it in here for a little while. So there's another thing about this train. No. Well, there's things that I cannot tell you right now. That I received in confidence today. But just to give you a general idea, I have it on good authority that there has been numerous threats. Don't say what kind of threats, but there's been numerous threats against schools in a particular area of the United States. None of the threats have... Hey, infidel finally made it in here. None of the threats have materialized yet. But when I look at this 15 gunmen here, you know, is that a psychological thing, psyops they call it. Was this a cartel just letting know that we are here, we're in your country, we're on your side of the border, and things are fixing to go bad? Or was it just simply a mistake? We don't even know that the 15 gunmen were Mexicans, or much less cartel. We don't know at this point. But that's what they're assuming, and I'd say it's a pretty safe bet. But what about all these threats against schools? Is that something that, and I've always said, I've said it a dozen times on this show, if I were in charge of some of these groups, these terror groups, you know, I wouldn't be looking for body count in large metropolitan areas. That would be the last thing that I would care about. We'll get to that later. If it were me, it would be a water supply in a small town in Nebraska with a note and maybe even a video showing who did it and how we did it. It would be a kindergarten in Minnesota, a small church in Utah, a convenience store in Montana, along with notes and reasons, notes and documentation as to who did it and why. And I'd have little things going on in little towns all over the country. And before very long, I would have people afraid to go out on the porch and get firewood after dark. It would be the psyops at its finest. Would have terror running through the blood of people throughout the country. when something happens in New York, or something happens in Los Angeles, or something happens in Denver, Dallas, Jacksonville, or Boston, you know, people in Lone Tree, Wyoming, don't really care. They're not going there. They're never going to be there. It doesn't matter. But if they did this in the... And I'm just wondering if this is not something along those lines. And Peanut Rider, you know, that's probably, I wouldn't say that it's a fake organization. I would agree that it was probably created by the intelligence agencies. But is it fake? No, it's not fake. But to your point, whether it is or not, that's one of those things that doesn't matter. It's absolutely 10,000,000% irrelevant, because whoever's doing it, and for whatever reason or wherever they come from, things are happening. And it's happening, and it's going to come here, and we can call it whatever we want. It can be created by whoever. There's nothing we can do about that. Now, all we can do now is kill those that are doing it, and kill them with extreme prejudice. I don't care who they belong to. I don't care where they came from. I don't care what their background is. I don't care who they're related to. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care what color their eyes are. When they do some of the things that they're doing, and they start doing it in our country, then all bets are off. Doesn't matter. So it's kind of like the whole contrail thing or chemtrails. So what? What are we going to do? Start shooting planes down at 35,000 feet? I kind of doubt it. We can go to airports and see if we can prove it somewhere. What are we going to do if we do? What's going to happen? Nothing. The string holding the balloon right now is getting pretty thin. It's going to be going up before long. Mountain Shooter, how do I know that they're not doing that already? Well, I know because it makes no difference. There is no terror there if we don't know who's doing it. There's going to have to be notes, letters, videos, and news broadcasts saying that this group takes responsibility for the kindergarten that was bombed in Iowa last week, or something like that. When that starts happening, and it happens with moderate frequency, then people are going to start freaking out. And what's going to happen then? People will welcome martial law. They will give up any of the rights that they have in order to have the security that they think that martial law will bring them. And that is the only way that I ever see the government being able to implement martial law in this country to any degree other than in a few metropolitan areas. I do believe that could happen. Will it happen? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. But could it? Seems reasonable to me. I don't see any other way that they could do this without... Well, I just don't see any other way they could do it, period. I've told you before that I think they could do it in larger metropolitan areas, a few at a time. And then other people in the suburban areas or in the rural areas would eventually come in because they were hungry or needed medical attention or whatever, and they would come in and welcome that protection. But I think that if they did that the way that I was talking a while ago, I think that a embarrassingly sickening, sad number, percentage of the United States would welcome it. And ultimately, that may be the whole plan to start with. You just never know. How did we get to talking about ducks on here? I may have to go kill something. All right. Oh, there goes the dogs. I'll be back.
Have you ever had one of those days when nothing goes right? Your wife starts bitching about whatever it was she was bitching about last night. So you escape into the bathroom just to sit there on your throne. But after you finish your business, the toilet paper's gone. Well, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cocked if you cross my path. 'Cause it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. Well, I was running late for work, so I poured me some coffee to go. And just before I had a flat tire, I spilled it all over my clothes. When the highway patrolman pulled up, I thought that help was on the way. But when he saw the tire tool in my hand, he shot me with pepper spray. Oh, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cocked if you cross my path. 'Cause it's a great day, y'all can sing it if you want to, for me to whoop somebody's ass. When I finally made it to work, I was 15 minutes late. I told my boss about the flat tire, but he fired me anyway. So here I am out in the parking lot, just waiting by his Corvette. I'm gonna give him a goodbye present that he never will forget. Let's sing it again. Great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cocked if you cross my path. 'Cause it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass.
All right, I'm back. I don't know what it was, but these dogs were going bananas, and we couldn't hardly keep them out of the house. They're not house dogs. We don't ever let them in the house. Well, once in a while when it gets real, you know, below zero, we'll let them in for a little while at night, but they just don't try to do that. So I'm pretty sure a lion came through here, or a bear, or one or the other. Probably a lion. So we'll see how many cats we have left and stuff in the morning. Well, it definitely wasn't a coyote, be too basic. Now, these dogs don't act like that. Dogs are very aggressive towards the coyotes, and they don't care nothing about coming in. Something scared them. So there was, I'm pretty, I bet you good money that it was a lion. Anyway, so where are we at? Let me go and see what I've got some other deals here. Some of this was kind of impromptu stuff brought on by events through the day and stuff. And I do have one thing for you. Let me get it right here. This was, hang on 1 second, I need to watch my chat room here. This was sent to me today by, what did Yakima Glock just put in here? Hey, stand by just a minute, let me check this out. Open this up, a little sign of some kind. Come on. Chop, chop. There you go. Good sign. I like that. Safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God. Very nice. I like that. Let's see. Had one of our listeners here, and I won't mention who it was, unless they want me to. But I had someone drove by the Livingston, Texas Walmart today. So many videos and stuff. Oh, this is going on at the Livingston Walmart. This is going on. They're storing MRAPs, and they're storing all these military vehicles. They're lined up in the back, and they're in a fence, and there's a convoy coming in. Shut up already. Jeez, take a break. Fact is, none of that is true. Unless they come in and parked them and then turn around and left the next day. Because this person went in today and said, maybe 24 cars and pickups in the parking lot, no military equipment, no construction workers, one lonely looking security guy in a little car driving around the lot or sitting parked under a tree. The sign says store temporarily closed. Sign said the pharmacy remained open. Pharmacy drive-through is open. And the gas station is reopened. One semi with a flatbed and a container with a covered top. That's it. That's all there is at Livingston, Texas. So fold your tinfoil hat up nicely and stick it around. We'll probably be using it again, so don't lose it. But right now I think we're getting along okay without it. And, I don't mean to make light of it. There is something going on. There's no question. But, for years, we've seen military vehicles on trains and on trucks and even just driving down the road, not on a train or a truck, just on the highways. Always. We've seen UN vehicles in the United States for at least 15 years. And I don't know right now if there are more people becoming aware of it and more people are shooting films, shooting video of them out there, or if there actually is more stuff going on. Because it seems at this point that there is one hell of a lot of military hardware moving around the country. Hell of a lot. I also got a report from a town in New Mexico that I'll read to you here in a little bit. But Peanut Rider just said the Pico Rivera Walmart, that was one of the five that closed due to what everybody says is Jade Helm. Maybe, maybe not. There's many compelling reasons why we feel like that could be a possibility. But so far, I don't know. Doesn't seem to be too exciting just yet. But I think that if there is if there is more movement out there than there was before, and it seems like it. I'm not saying there's not, because there's 10 times the videos and stuff, but there's been videos of trains full of military equipment come on YouTube. You know, there's probably 5 million of them on there. Most of them are going to Fort Irwin or coming back from Fort Irwin. They have vast train loads of equipment going in and out of Fort Irwin, California, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. Huge train loads of it. They go in there and drop them all off, and they train realistically. That is the United States Army Desert Warfare Center. And since all of our activities going on in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran, and everywhere else over there, in that's where a lot of our training's going on. Now, understand that I don't mean that none of these are going anywhere else, but, you know, they could be going to Fort Campbell, they can be going to wherever. I know there's a lot of stuff goes in and out of Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah. A lot. And people may be more aware now and taking a whole lot more video and more pictures than we've ever seen before, or maybe there really is that much more stuff happening. But the Tampico Scout, I was too. I was stationed there for about a year and a half. Yeah, I was started out as part of the Op 4 there, and had a... Oddly enough, when I got there, I had a buddy of mine, two of them actually, that I had served with in Europe. And I said, "Hey, Spud, I ain't interested in this Op 4 stuff at all. Let's see what we can do." So I wound up getting orders to transfer over to, I can't even remember what it was now. Oh, 247th Medical Detachment is what it was. And I wasn't even on post most of the time. I was at the airfield. I was at Daggett Airfield, and I was the motor sergeant there. So I got out of a whole lot of stuff that I didn't want to do at the time. But we went out to post quite a bit. Went out to Fort Irwin pretty regular, and we still had our FTXs and everything else out there. But it was pretty good duty there for a while. Peanut Rider, it is. And that's why I say that there's it's very, very likely that 75% of these, or more, maybe 100% of the trains that we see out here are going to or from Fort Irwin. Of course, that same railroad track runs to some point that will get it to Pendleton and some other places there in California. So I don't know how much of it's true and how much of it's not, but I will believe at this point that there is something going on. I believe there's something big going on. I don't believe that every military vehicle I see is a threat to me and my family. But I do believe that there is something seriously going on. The mountain shooter, I know it's out in the middle of nowhere, buddy. There's no doubt in my mind. But we had a lot of fun out there. Peanut Rider said Fort Irwin is out in the area where he'd like to go play in the desert. We did, too. That's what we did in the, half the time that we were off, we'd go out there in the desert and go to places where them people from Victorville and Los Angeles and everywhere else come out there in the desert to shoot, and they just shoot and shoot. They're not shooting at anything. They're just shooting to hear the noise. And, once in a while you find them putting up a target of some kind or something, but most of them out there trying to play Army. And you want to play Army, buddy? Go through that gate right there and talk to them folks and tell them you want to play Army with them. We'll fix you right up. But they wouldn't let them drink beer and everything while they're doing it. So, but anyway, we'd go out there and find places where there was literal seas of brass. We'd get up on a high point somewhere, getting the sun just right, and look, and we would literally see. I mean, honest engine, I'm telling you the truth. We'd go out there and see shining areas in the desert and said, there's one. And we'd keep our eye on it, go jump in the truck and drive down there, and lo and behold, we'd pick up 200, 300, 400, 500 rounds of 223 brass, 308s, you know, whatever, quite a bit of pistol brass. And we did this the whole time that I was in Fort Irwin. So I don't want to spend any more time on that because I think I've told that story before. So I'm getting where I tell a lot of stories more than once here. Anyway, tomorrow, and I hate to, I know tonight was supposed to be gun night, but there's just too much going on, guys. There's just too many things that we need to talk about. Tomorrow, unless something changes, Amy or I, neither one will be here. I will be with the Boy Scouts unless we get rained out. I mean, I'm going to go out there and get my camp set up. I don't care if it rains or not, but unless they, unless they tell us to shut it down, well, I'll be there for the duration. So, and Amy can't do her show without me. She's not, she's kind of technologically challenged when it comes to this kind of stuff, so I need to help her out with it. That's the only reason that I am her producer. So that's what's going on tomorrow. So we will not see you again. Actually, we won't see a lot of you ever. You will not hear us again until Monday. And so I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. I'll tell you something else I'm going to do here. I've been taking kind of a poll here, informal deal. And it seems that our fine connoisseurs of music are about half and half with people that like rock and roll. No, you guys know I like a lot of that stuff too. So by somewhere in the vicinity of 50% of the vote, we're going to start doing a rock and roll show a little more often. But I am not Eddie Crump, son. I hate to disappoint you. I don't want to alienate you here, but I am not doing very much, very little stuff like Ozzy Osbourne and stuff like that. I'll do AC/DC. They're kind of unique, and but they're not some of this wild stuff that we have now. That's just not going to happen. No matter how popular it gets, I'll shut this show down before I'll do that. That's the bottom. That's the last word on that. But we'll do country, we'll do 50s and 60s rock, we'll do 70s and 80s rock, maybe a little bit into the, yeah, I doubt it. Probably 70s and 80s, that'll probably be good enough for us. But we're going to start switching it around a little bit, get off of all the country. I know some of you really like the pure country, and I do too. But a lot of you like the, no, Tampico Scout. No, sir. No. Not going to do that. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. We're going to start swapping it up. We got emails today, people saying, oh, man, thank you so much. I really liked that classic rock show. Okay, all right. Ask and you shall receive to a point. Some things you can ask for and you will not receive. But anyway. Gauntlet 40 said Shots Ranch is the most remote place I've ever seen. And it is reasonably remote out there. It's not as remote as some places. But, yeah, it's out there where a guy can go and pee off the back porch and not have to worry about the neighbors complaining about it. And just shoot virtually in any direction at any time that you want to, almost. So, but there's a lot of other places like that, too, as you know. Shots Ranch will not be happening again for this guy ever. So I see the Tinker asking, Alex Cooper, no. Madonna, no. Ozzy Osbourne, no. B2 Basic, thank you, sweetheart. Yeah, let's, country will still be the reigning, thing here. So all right, Eddie's pretty he likes a lot of that weird stuff, I think, but he's pretty easy going. He likes some of the other stuff, so I'm glad to hear that. I don't want to run anybody off here. Rights at Risk, good with 50s and stuff, as well as the country. I know she likes a lot of the country stuff. And, yeah, Ty Jax, did you, you know, I wish I could remember who you are. I know we've talked about this before. You talk like maybe you had been to our place in Luna. Yeah, it was pretty good ways out there. Matter of fact, that's why, that's exactly why Amy's show is called Living Way Out Here, because at the time we were living way out here. And, it was a pretty good trip. It's a, you know, it's 100 miles almost to the closest Walmart. If we go south from there, there's three little towns within, well, it's 100 miles from there to Silver City, and Silver City's not a very big town either. If you go west, east from there, straight east, it's well over 100 miles to a town of any size at all, and that would be Socorro, New Mexico, over on I-25. And it was, I don't remember for sure, 130 miles or something like that. If you go north, it was probably 100 and, I don't know, maybe 120 miles. And the only way you could keep it under 120 miles, it was dirt road almost every step of the way if you went straight north out of Luna. You go east out of Luna, there's Alpine, 15 miles away. There ain't nothing there but a gas station, two restaurants, and a beer joint. And a library. And then Springerville would be the next closest thing. Not a whole lot in Springerville, but it's a town. It's where most of the people from Luna do their moderate shopping, and it is about 45 miles. And then it's another 50 miles from there to Sholo. And that is where, if you've got any major shopping to do, you want to go to Walmart and stuff like that, you go to Sholo. And it was 100 miles from Luna. So Luna, New Mexico, for all intents and purposes, was 100 miles in any direction from anything of any significance. So, all right, Ty Jax, I don't know if we've ever met. I don't know if I've met you or not, but I do know where Buckhorn is. Neat little town. Little bitty town. But, yeah, it's a pretty neat place, I think. Okay, we have successfully babbled here over our mark. I will see you guys Monday. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm sorry that Amy was not able to join us tonight, but hopefully we'll have everything back on track. And Ty Jax, I remember who you are now. I do remember, absolutely. Man, it has been a long time. Yes, sir. I remember you coming in there a couple of times. Okay. All right. I'm out of here. We'll see you guys Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.